You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Taped on Lies, your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You guys already know what to do. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you like it and leave a comment if you dislike it. All right. Make sure you guys go ahead and check out the Carfax that I just dropped to, break it down, Derek Carr. My man BD just did a Trayvon Merrig. Somebody told you how to pronounce it right, bro. Merrig.
Yeah. Did I pronounce it wrong?
Yeah. You're pronouncing wrong. Yeah.
It's Merrig. All right. I got to work on it.
It's cool, man. I feel like sometimes people don't even watch the video. They just comment. So.
It's actually funny because for his entire career, I called Yannick Ngakoue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when he came to the Raiders, they were talking to him, one of the reporters, and then he was like, yeah, my name is pronounced Yannick. And I was like, wow, okay, I've been calling this guy the wrong name his entire career, you know? So it's tough. It's tough to like get, especially if you've been like calling someone, because like when I discovered Trayvon Merrig when I was watching Jeff Gladney at TCU before, when Trayvon Merrig was a sophomore.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know how to pronounce that name, so I just called him Morrig or whatever. So I've been calling him Morrig but John Gruden pronounced his name the worst though.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that? He would always say Merrig, like ING at the end. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's not pronounced like that, John. But hey.
Yeah. Anyways, follow us on Twitter at TMarkSeanNFL, at BDWilliams18. And also, like you always say, get you some Manscaped, guys. Discount code TDL. All right. So, we're getting ready for the Broncos. The Raiders coming off of, an ugly game. It's ugly all around. And they got the Denver Broncos, who are also coming off an ugly game, ugly all around, but they didn't lose their coach. So that's totally different between these two teams. And, the Raiders are going into Denver and they're going to try to, bounce back. And I mean, if they get a good win, the Chargers are playing the Ravens. They're really only a game back from first place. If they can go in there and get a good win, they could get right back at it. Right. And, they're taking on a Broncos team that started off 3-0. But they played a lot of weak teams. People say the Raiders played a weak team, but the Denver played Steelers and they kind of got their butts handed to them pretty much. Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting matchup. I think the Raiders just have to be ready to play. If they come ready to play, I think they have a good chance to win this one, especially with the way the defense has looked the last couple of weeks for Denver. They haven't been as strong as they were the first three. And I'm pretty sure BD will say the same for the offense. So I'm covering defense today and BD's covering offense. And I'm pretty sure he'll say the same about the offense.
Before we jump too far into it, it's I think that, just from what I've been studying from the Raiders defense so far, it's like a big improvement in terms of just getting off the field on third downs. Huge improvement. And it's really frustrating because if this is what the Raiders defense was last year Raiders offense was like ball control, like put together like long drives, take a long time off the clock. Okay. Kick a field goal. I know that the fans didn't like that, but that strategy would work great with this defense right now.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is, and you've talked to me about it a lot online. I've seen posts about it on Twitter. You just had an article come out. They're relying on big chunk plays in the passing game and it's stalling their drives. They're going deep a lot more often. Fans say that they wanted to go deep, but look what happens. You're going to get a lot more three and outs doing stuff like that. Right. And so I think that's something that hopefully we'll see the Raiders kind of get back to. I think that's like a Greg Olsen staple anyways, is putting together long drives. That's his thing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the Raiders can get back into that and just like take a whole bunch of time off the clock and, capitalize when their defense does get a stop, when their defense forces a three and out or, forces a punt, something like that, go down, at least kick a field goal, take a whole bunch of time off the clock. That's what this offense needs to get back to in order to come from with the defense, because otherwise the defense is going to have to like turn into a top five defense, taking the ball away and getting tons of sacks, tons of interceptions, tons of fumble recoveries, mm-hmm. in order for like the way that this team, the way that the offense is operating right now. What do you think? Do you think that this defense poses, you know, an opportunity for the Raiders to get back into that ball control mindset?
I think so. I mean, I hope so. I mean, what you're doing is not working. That's what's bothering me. And, you know, people are just ignoring it. I mean, basically what's happening is, you know, the first 3 weeks, everybody's excited about them being vertical. The last two losses, they just act like they aren't and just go back. You know, I've seen stuff on all over, like, oh, maybe they'll do less short passes. I'm like, bro, they're like last in short passes. They're second to last. I posted on Twitter, you know, of course, you know, that really didn't go as much as if I would have said something negative about Carr, but I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, they aren't doing it. They're not throwing the ball. All they do is throw it deep and it's killing drives. You know, Derek Carr is passing up short stuff and throwing deep. And, you know, people just, you know, the narrative stays out there that, you know, they're just throwing short or whatever, but you guys can lie to yourselves all you want. But I mean, the truth is that this is a vertical passing team and they need to calm down or they're going to keep losing because they can't score points depending on explosive plays. And I mean, that's why I wrote that article because, you know, when I wrote an article about Greg Olsen and I talked about how they're relying on big plays, some dude left a comment like, I don't think they're relying on big plays. So I'm saying, like, what are you guys watching sometimes? You know, I guess that's my thing is like, what are we watching? Are we watching the game? Are we just like watching the game with like our own thought process? No matter what happens, that it doesn't matter what happens in the game. We just walk out of there with whatever that we want to think. And I think that's a problem with a lot of, not just Raiders fans. I'm not just trying to get on Raiders fans, really. That's with all fans, to be honest. I mean, you'll see. I mean, I saw somebody get on Patrick Mahomes because he wasn't scoring enough points. You know, your stats are too good. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand the argument. Like, let's watch the game. Let's watch what's happening and just go with what's happening in the game. Let's not leave the game with like our own narrative about what you know, we thought about the guy before. Like, you know, ignore everything. It's like one of the guys in the Carfax, he watched my whole video and then said that, oh, so what I see is that Carr is predetermining. I'm like, bro, come on, man. Like the whole predetermined thing, like that doesn't happen in like 3 years. Like, I don't know. I'm just tired of like that kind of discourse. Let's watch what's going on. It's not happening anymore. Like, stop saying stuff that's not happening. You know, stop ignoring Derek Carr running around like an idiot. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he broke like three tackles against the Chargers in one play and rolled out. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that, you know, this style of offense where it's a big emphasis on throwing the ball deep. Mm-hmm. I think that could work a lot better if the run game was able to reel off like some chunk runs, you know, so it'd be like, okay, we missed on first down. Let's go run it. Oh, and let's get 6 yards.
Yeah.
And now it's third and four. Right. But what's happening is they're running it and now it's third and eight, you know, so like that, it's like, it's impossible to keep up with that. Like the run game is so bad. It's not going to help you out. It's only going to catch defense off guard if you like barely use it. And then you just kind of, you know, use it every once in a while that, you know, and so if it is going to be a high volume passing attack because, you know, the run game isn't very good, then a lot of that volume has to come from, like you're saying, the short stuff. It's like, it's still in that choice route when it comes open. Right. Yeah. It's like, shoot, spire two wide banana. Who cares? Just throw it. Like, let's get, you know, some solid completions in the passing game that are 5-6 yards. It's all good. That's how you stay on schedule. Excuse me. So yeah, I guess we'll see. Why don't you just jump into the Broncos defense and show us what you think, you know, the Raiders can do there. If they can, you know, take advantage and put together some long drives against these guys.
Last thing I'll say before I get into the Broncos defense, I do want to say that I agree with you. The Raiders just need first downs. And you're talking about third and long. I don't think always it was third and long last game. I mean, they had two plays on the third and two. He rolled out and threw deep to Bryan Edwards. And yeah, Edwards should have caught it. But, I mean, he also could have just ran for a first down. And the on schedule.
Yeah.
And then the third and four, the pick to Zay Jones. I mean, he had Hunter Renfrow on a quick drag. And like, yeah, that's not sexy. It's not going to get you, you know, I don't know. It's not going to get you on, you know, the timeline and you get you good praise on Twitter, I guess. But the Raiders just needed first downs. They need first downs. They need long drives and then they can start going deep again. You know, they need to make sure that they can stay on schedule. But all right. Anyways, let's get it.
jump into this Fangio defense. Let's see what you got here, man.
All right. So we're going to start off here with the run defense. All right. So we got the run defense for the Broncos, which is hit and miss. Okay. So the run defense for the Broncos is very hit and miss. All right. So some games they're a good defense against the run. Some games they're not. So against the Steelers, they were not, but they still have some good players in there that can make some, you know, some cause some penetration. And they're also, you know, they're well coached. And a lot of these guys have been in the same defense forever. So you'll see them make a lot of plays in the run game. You'll see it here against the Ravens. They do a good job. All the linebackers stay steady, fill their gaps. Everybody makes a play. You'll see Justin Simmons. He comes down a lot and makes a lot of plays in a run game too. But however, they play light in the box. So if you play a lot of shotgun against them, there's going to be some runs there for you, right? Especially if you do some power runs, which I expect the Raiders to do this week. A lot of more gap. You see duo there. You know, a lot of duo, a lot of power, a lot of pulling. You see some counters here from the Steelers and all different types of runs here, right? You see duo one more time. It's beautiful from Najee Harris and the Steelers, right? So you can run the football on this team, but you just got to do some power stuff. I think you got to stay in shotgun, spread them out a little bit and do some power and not try to have all their linebackers in the box and try to do some, you know, 22 personnel. So we got the pass rush and the blitz. So, you know, you always got your boy Von Miller, man. He's always going to be explosive off the edge. He doesn't have the same step that he always has, but he's going to be there, almost forces a pick there for Ben, right? And then, you know, it's just they get a little bit of pressure, but most of the time, guys, you know, the quarterback's just making sandwiches back there if they rush four. You see, look at, he's just making sandwiches. You just see sandwiches being made by Lamar Jackson. Look at this one. I mean, when they rush four, like, Lamar Jackson has all the time in the world. You just look, I could fake, you can't give a quarterback that much time, right? So what did the Broncos do to beat that, right? What did they do to beat that? So we're watching with the Steelers one more time. Watch this. Ben Roethlisberger gets a chance to make some sandwiches here, right? And the Steelers don't have a good line, guys. You know what I mean? So the pass rush with four is a struggle for the Broncos. So what do? They blitz, right? They blitz more than they have ever before. So the last 2018, 2019, they blitzed 24% of the time. Now they're blitzing 34% of the time, which is fifth in the NFL, right? And you see there's a stunt there with the blitz. So they do a lot of mixtures with the blitzes. They have really good blitzes, actually. You know, it makes you wonder why they didn't blitz more before, right? So you see how they fake 45 and then they send 30, catches you off guard, right? And then they send 45 and he comes on a delay blitz, right? 45, he comes on a blitz all the time. Sorry, I didn't know his name off the top of my head, guys. I guess I should research that, but I call it 45. There you go. Shelby Harris coming in there with a delay blitz. So they blitz pretty heavy, right? And you'll see one more blitz right here. And they just, this time they bring everybody, right? They bring seven. Can't get that ball off quick. So, you know, Derek Carr has been really good against the blitz. Every team has blitzed him a lot. He's made a lot of plays. So we'll see what the Broncos try to do. If they try to blitz, I mean, the Raiders might have some good chance to burn them. And then I just want to feature Justin Simmons just because he's a dog. And he's a beast. Right. You check him out, man. He'd be running these man matches, running these cover three man match. He comes down, he robs everything. You see him against Mark Andrews. So you're going to see him cover Dan Waller inside a lot. See him come down on Andrews again. Just look at this. This is textbook. Knocking that ball away, letting him know. All right. So there is times, though, where you can beat Simmons, right? Especially if you have an elite tight end like Darren Waller. I mean, guys are going to get beat by elite tight ends. You know what I'm saying? That's Isaiah Oliver. So we got Mark Andrews on him. Mark Andrews on was a little cocky, putting a hand up early. I thought that was a little cocky, but he was right. You know, but he was able to box him out there because he's just a bigger player. So sometimes when you get a good matchup with a great tight end, like you see Mark Andrews right there, but, you know, Simmons is almost there. But, you know, that was, you know, you could still win sometimes if you get a good tight end lined up against Justin Simmons, but he's going to win some too just because he's elite. All right, and then attacking the secondary, we always talk about these guys. It's another, you know, cover three man match, quarters man match, whatever you want to call it, right? It's another one of those teams. So I liked how they're attacked the last couple of weeks. All right, so you're going to see this one. I really like this one. So this is a mesh with two verticals. All right, so we got a mesh with two verticals. And watch what this does to Justin Simmons, right? It puts Justin Simmons in a bind right here. He has to come up. And then that leaves the corner who has outside leverage one-on-one. And Deontay Johnson just beats him. Nice throw by Ben. Touchdown. So that's a great design there, right? And then you see Mills here. Of course, Lamar Jackson has so much time. Marquise Brown beats both safeties. Great catch.
Oh, right, my God.
Yeah, that was just beautiful, bro. And then the choice routes work against them a lot. So the Steelers won a lot of choice routes to see right here. You got choice shallow. Bam. Ben's a little late with that one, but it's on time. First down. All right. And then you got halfback choice. You got choice dragon, which the Raiders run. Halfback choice here. And what this does is because, you know, because of their rules, right, it's hard for, you know, to line up somebody. So Justin Simmons has to come down. He can't handle an angle route that quick, right? He's coming down. That makes it easy for Najee Harris. He just cuts right back inside. So then you got the dagger concept, which I really like this one against them. And this is for people who say Lamar Jackson can't read the field, because this is one of the only times I've seen somebody take the seam on the dagger. And that was the right decision. You missed it. But, you know, just take, you know, check yourself if you say he can't read the field. All right. But yeah, I think this defense is beatable for sure. They're not as talented as I thought. I mean, Surtain is young, so he can make some plays. But Ojemudia on the other side, 23, I mean, he can be attacked all day. You could attack him.
He's been a weak link on that defense for a while. I'd say, you know, he's had a couple good plays here and there, but I definitely think that, you know, in comparison to everyone else, we're talking about Justin Simmons, we're talking about Patrick Surtain, Kareem Jackson. Yeah. Ojemudia, definitely that's the target. Who's playing nickel for them? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I think it's Callahan's hurt right now. So, oh man, I can't think of somebody who's playing nickel for them, but.
So that's a potential matchup too, then, you know, right there. So
a lot of teams in attack their nickel, though. You know what I mean? A lot of teams, what they try to do is they try to make the safeties out of position so they can get one-on-ones outside, right? I mean, that's kind of what you want to do, especially with the man matches. I mean, because what they do in their rotation, you can get a one-on-one with the safety, with the slot guy. You play a 3-by-1, you can get a one-on-one with the safety all day if you set it up correctly. Right. Especially if you mix in that post with it from the 3-by-1, you can get that one-on-one with the safety. And, you know, that puts them in a tough position, especially if you put somebody like Henry Ruggs there, or you put somebody, you know, that can get some quick separation or deep separation. You can create that one-on-one. Of course, you need the time, which is the fitting, the factor behind all of beating these man match coverages. But, you know, I think the last two lines that we saw, I mean, the Ravens line is not that good. Either is the Steelers. And, you know, the Broncos, they struggled to generate pass rush a little bit, especially with four. And they have to blitz. You know, the last two teams that gave the Raiders a lot of trouble were able to rush with four. I mean, the Bears only blitzed them like 6 or 5 times. I mean, and there's a couple creepers. So it wasn't like natural blitzes, right? There's like 2 creepers. They only blitzed them like 4 times. Chargers did the same thing, right? So that's why the Raiders had a lot of issue, but they're facing a different team. I mean, the Broncos have to blitz. I mean, they really can't get pressure outside of that, you know, and, you know, they're not playing the Giants anymore week 1. So they have to generate pressure some type of way. And I think that's a benefit to the Raiders, because teams that have blitzed the Raiders a lot, the Raiders have put up a lot of points. So, and teams that don't blitz the Raiders, they don't put up a lot of points. So, yeah. I mean, maybe Fangio tries to take that strategy, but is that going to work for him?
It's a really interesting matchup, because like you're saying, first 3 weeks, it was a lot of blitz heavy teams and teams that play a lot of man coverage. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we saw the Raiders capitalize, especially in the deep passing game. Everyone was really excited when the Raiders went to, you know, Staley, you know, against the Chargers, when they went to the Bears, right? Like this Sean Desai, all of a sudden not blitzing and playing like, you know, this man match, like too high safety, kind of cover seven looks, you know, all that stuff, right? Now, the Raiders had a hard time, okay? And I think that obviously against the Bears, there was other things, other factors weighing in there. But Fangio, he comes from that same, like he runs the same defense as Staley and Fangio, like, or and Desai, like they're all his former assistants. So this is like 1, 2, 3 weeks in a row where it's like the same defense. But what you're showing is they're struggling to get a pass rush with four. So they are having to blitz. So that's going to add an interesting dynamic. I think that's going to be something to keep your eye on for sure. But hopefully the Warriors just kind of get back to their old identity, which was working for them, and not have
please,
to just
please just yeah. move the football.
Rely 20, on that.
Yeah. They're 21st in yards per drive this year, bro. Like, they're not moving the football. So yeah. I mean, they weren't moving the football the first few weeks, in my opinion. They would just get some deep balls, and they would, you know, throw it deep, and then they would get a big chunk play, then another chunk play, and then another chunk play. And you can't depend on chunk plays for a long period of time, especially when you start playing these teams that play zone. And it's more just bothering me the way this offense has been playing.
You put the film out there. These teams are going to adjust.
Yes.
To that.
Like, it's bothering.
And then you got to come up with something else. Right. And then defenses are going to adjust. And then you got to come up with something else, and defenses are going to adjust. What the Raiders came out this year with, right? Mm-hmm. Three defenses in a row couldn't adjust, but the Chargers could, the Bears could.
Bears could.
So now the question is, when are the Raiders going to adjust, right? So hopefully that's what we see this week.
Yeah, because the Bears, they just said, you don't throw short, so we're just going to drop.
Yeah.
And we're going to dare you to do it. And then when they had chances to throw deep, I mean, they had somebody – always over there. So, I mean, it's like the one play where Darren Waller is wide open, he runs like 29 yards, should have been like an epiphany to everything, because they left Darren Waller wide open underneath. You know what I mean? Like, that should tell us everything about what's happening and how teams are playing them. They're playing them to stop their explosive plays, and they're keep trying to get explosive plays when they're being stopped, right? And that's the problem, right? And I think they have to just get back to being on schedule. That's what I'm saying. Like, hit these choice routes, throw some routes to the running backs, you know, to get some movement, get Waller back on choice routes. You know, Waller hasn't ran a choice route since week one. That's a problem. That's a big problem. That's all he did last year. 107 catches. That's all he did. He was running choice routes. That's all him and Derek Carr did. And they're never wrong. They never mess up. You know, I've been talking about Hunter Renfrow messed up routes for a while. And you know, that timing is better with Waller, and they got to get that going. They got to get him back into being the choice route guy. I'm sorry. Like, the Saints game last year, he ate. There's Ravens game, he ate on choice routes. He scored a touchdown. I mean, like, you could think of the Jets game last year, he had 200 yards, just running choice routes all day. You know what I mean? And different types of routes like that. So they have to get him open and have to get him going underneath. I mean, it's this deep stuff is taking him out of the game. That's kind of how I feel about it. And then teams are not even playing him anymore. They don't even care about him anymore. They're not double teaming anymore. There's no more brackets. There's no any of these any things that people think is happening. There's a bracket week one against the Ravens, and they threw to him anyways. So there's no more brackets anymore. There's nothing. Nobody's double teaming him. He's being left alone at this point now. Throwing the ball.
Gotta eat.
Throw the rocks too.
And really, and here's what it just comes down to me. You know, you can draw, you know, crazy plays and a great scheme and all this stuff. Okay. You got a 6'6" tight end who can run 4.4s. All right. Who's guarding him? You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to be the focus. He needs to be the focal point, because it's like, these guys don't fall on, you know, don't grow up on trees. This is incredibly unique athlete to play the tight end position, even in like the history of the league. So it doesn't make sense why, you know, he's not the focal point. And I feel like I sense a little bit of frustration from Darren Waller, just from some of his body language out there. I think that you keyed me in on that anyways. All right. So why don't we jump over to the Teddy Bridgewater offense.
Okay. Let's do it.
It's Teddy Bridgewater, right? That's the quarterback.
Yeah. We're terrible today with the names, bro. Sorry. Broncos fans are going to be so mad.
Yeah.
Because you know the names of the players.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, come on.
We're just coaches. Coaches would say 45, too. They wouldn't say
I'm just looking at the number. I knew it was Teddy Bridgewater just when I said it. It sounded weird because he's a Broncos quarterback now. Okay, so biggest thing with the – with the Denver Broncos offense is what I'm noticing, like a lot of just first down, second down, not a lot of success, and just like drives kind of stalling especially when they go to pass on first down. It's, you know, they have a 45.3% first down success rate. That's runs and passes, which is 30th in the league. So they can get off schedule early. Okay. And when I was watching this offense, I wasn't like super impressed with really anything that I was seeing. And I just noticed that this team really struggles to like get a win on first down. And so, I mean, that's going to be crucial for the Raiders to try to see if they can get them, you know, long in the down and distance. And because this team does like to be balanced, the Broncos like to be balanced. They like to run the ball. And then they're going to pass to supplement it. But if you can get them kind of out of that kind of, you know, balanced mindset and get them into the third and longs, I think that this defense has a really a much greater chance of success, because their third and long success rate for the Broncos is ranked 21st in the league. They only convert 29.2% of their third and longs. You know, every once in a while it's going to happen. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, he's, you know, a starter in the NFL for a reason, because he's efficient, mm-hmm. right? He's going to make a good read. He's going to protect the ball. It's not going to be spectacular to watch ever from Teddy Bridgewater, right? But, you know, he's going to make good decisions out there. He's going to keep he's going to do his best to keep the offense, you know, ahead of schedule, you know. Yeah. But there's just like, if it's drops, if it's, you know, guys just not coming down with catches in tight windows, or if it's just like the first and second reads are taken away and Teddy Bridgewater has to like now, you know, get to, you know, late in the progression, find someone, you know, that's when this team struggles a little bit. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing is that I was watching, first thing that I noticed, I was like, okay, this offensive line, I think it could be a little suspect. And I've heard mixed reviews from their tackles. Bobby Massey is the right tackle. Garrett Bowles is the left tackle. And when I watched them, especially against Pittsburgh, those guys did not look good. Okay, they really struggled, in my opinion, whether it was like power rushes, okay, or whether it was like a speed rush, they were kind of getting their butts whooped a little bit. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a little bit, you know, he's a mobile guy.
Yeah.
He can move around. So he wasn't, you know, he was able to, you know, help himself out and make some plays, even though that the pass protection was kind of suspect, in my opinion. Lloyd Cushenberry, though, that guy's good.
Yeah.
The center? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's a legit center in the NFL, especially after watching all these Andre James cut-ups. Oh, my God. Lloyd Cushenberry for the Broncos. Like, there's a couple plays. He was going head-to-head against Cameron Hayward, holding his own against Cameron Hayward. You know, he's and even when he's in his pass protection, like, he's got great footwork. He's like delivering blows, delivering shots to help out his guards. Lloyd Cushenberry, he's really good. But I think that exterior of this offensive line is, I think that that's really the biggest area of struggle for them in terms of blocking. So Garrett Bowles, Bobby Massey, hopefully our edge rushers, Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, can just get after these guys and, you know, make it a tough day, for sure. So the next thing I want to talk about is their run game. Okay. They like to run the ball. Okay. Melvin Gordon and now Javonte Williams. Unfortunately, Broncos have Javonte Williams. I think he's going to be a really good back in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys have been able to take advantage, have some big, huge runs so far this year. And I think that that is honestly skewing how good this offense looks statistically. Because if you take those, these big chunk runs out from these backs, you know, this is probably like a bottom five offense in the NFL, if we're being completely honest, or at least bottom 10, but some of these huge runs that they get, and just really good looking runs from both these running backs really is something that is helping this offense out. Is Melvin Gordon hurt? Do you know?
He's questionable.
It's questionable, but Javonte Williams, I mean, there's no step down there. You know, it just comes down to how many times Javonte Williams is going to be able to handle, you know, toting the rock. And he's young, he's got fresh legs in the NFL, so he probably will be fine having the ball, you know, carrying the ball 25, 30 times maybe. So I think that those guys are going to be dangerous. The Raiders got to step up their run defense. We've seen the Raiders run defense struggle recently. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's like, it'll be like, you know, they'll get a stop. Right. They'll tackle, you know, these guys short to gain on first down, you know, or second down. But then like a couple drives later, it'll be like a 20-yard run. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it look like the run defense isn't like performing as well as it should. But the Raiders defense, like, they got, like, you know, the way the run defense works, one link in the chain breaks, and all of a sudden it looks like you got a terrible run defense, even though it's just one guy not, you know, like not winning, right? Yeah. And I think that just like how not great this team is rushing, like throwing the ball, you don't need to sell out to like for the pass rush. Like Gus Bradley doesn't need to be like, okay, we're not sacrificing our pass rush for run defense here.
Yeah.
You can do that a little bit this game. I think I don't think that Teddy Bridgewater is going to sit back there, you know, and start throwing, you know, 50 yard bombs. If you're not rushing it, you know, like it's not crucial that they get like tons of pressure, especially with how, you know, these tackles aren't really great. I think that the interior guys can just kind of focus on stopping the run, and that's going to help this defense out. So yeah. And then, you know, some of the guys that they got, you know, Jerry Jeudy, you know, he's always going to be dangerous. He's going to get some. He has good track record against the Raiders.
Yeah, he's out though.
He's out. Okay. And Courtland Sutton's out too, right?
I don't think so.
I thought it was Courtland Sutton that was out.
No, that's Jerry
Jeudy. Oh, okay.
Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler are out.
Okay, so shoot. Yeah, you got to stop the run.
I mean, that's part of the reason why the Broncos struggle a little bit, because they lost those two guys, but.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Got to stop the run. I haven't seen anything except negative reviews from Courtland Sutton so far this year. And, you know, when I'm watching it, I'm not seeing anything that he's doing that's popping off the tape, honestly. So, I'm not too worried about there. Hopefully the Raiders don't allow Courtland Sutton to have like a breakout back to health game, you know, kind of thing, but it's definitely going to come down to stopping the run against it in this one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he's got to play like Carr is. Like, they're just throwing deep all the time. He's like really high on deep passing percentage. But, you know, so that's why they were balling early on. They had KJ Hamler and those guys. They're able to get deep. And but now it's just down to like Courtland Sutton and Tim Fitzpatrick and like, you know, Kendall Hilton and those type of dudes. So it's not the same wide receivers corpse either. So we'll see how that goes, but Javonte Williams is still a beast. They got to worry about tackling this week.
Yeah.
he will not go down easy. They're going to be a little sore after this week. So I hope the linebackers are ready. I know Denzel Perryman and Abram be ready for it, but the rest of the dudes, they gotta be ready for it. They gotta be
ready. You know who he looks like right now? Who? When I'm watching him, he looks like Josh Jacobs, his rookie year.
Yeah. That was my comp, bro, for him. I thought he was Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think he got caught from behind on a big long run that probably like hurt his pride a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have like crazy wheels or anything, but it's just burst and just violence, and you know you got to bring it, and you got to bring multiple friends to the party to tackle this guy.
Yeah, he's not going down. Those are play against the Ravens. Like drags three guys. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
but I think the Raiders have done a good job of rallying to the football and like just like their gang tackling, you know, like that has been a good thing. I think it's, you know, there's just certain things where it's just like, okay, they're going to line up like this with the formation of the boundary. They're going to start shifting guys over and like a bunch of motions. And, you know, one time, one of those plays, someone's not going to be in the right spot, you know, adjusting to what the offense's, you know, formation keeps on shifting to. And, you know, like a run play happens, you know, because of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see like tons of motion from the Broncos offense, tons of shifts, just so that they can start confusing these guys and continue to run the ball against them, because it's going to be a cat and mouse game in the trenches, fitting the run for Gus Bradley going up against this offense. That's what it's going to be about. You know, I'm not really concerned about the pass game hurting them, but we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, the Raiders have been pretty good against the pass this year. So, we'll see how that goes going forward, but it's going to be I mean, the Raiders just got to come to play, man. That's the thing to me. They got to come to play. Doesn't matter the strategy or whatever. They haven't really showed up the last couple of weeks. So especially offense, you know, and they definitely didn't show up last week. So they got to show up this week. And I think they will. You know, I was thinking in my head, you know, when Dennis Allen got fired, right. And I mean, that team was terrible, and they were playing like a really good Chargers team they were going to play the next week. I don't know if their Chargers were good. Don't quote me. But the Chargers were better than the Raiders. The Raiders weren't supposed to beat them. And then they almost did. I mean, they played like one of probably the best games of the season. Like Derek Carr, like is like a breakout game with you four touchdowns. So I think with the new coach, I think that first game is always like live for a team. And you know that Raiders game in 2014 was the example, because you know they came out there and they almost beat the Chargers team. They almost, you know, stole a win. I mean, they you know lost like every game after that. But that's what I mean. Like, so I think this game, you know, I like the stuff that Rich is saying. I like his analytical. I like the stuff that he's saying by analytics. I love that answer. I love that answer he had about analytics, where he's talking about how, you know, he has the guy in the booth and they're going to think together and they're going to make the right decision. And he's not going to just go off his heart or his mind. I really like that, his thought process on that. And on analytics and different things he was talking about at his press conference. You just have to catch it, because, you know, Raiders need to ask stupid ass questions. So you have to catch two or three guys who ask good questions in there and his answers, because, you know, the rest of them are like, so what do you think about the Vegas weather, Rich?
Yeah,
you know,
the rest of them are like, it's the first time you're a head coach. What are the emotions that go into that? Like, come on, guys.
Like, some dude asked him, like, so
stop asking that.
Since you like kicking, are you just going to kick field goals instead of going for it? And he was like, what? What are you asking? like you like kickers. So you're going to kick field goals, right? And he was like, no, I'm going to listen to Tim. And he's ready to talk analytics. He's like, because I do special teams, and that's what we do in special teams is analytics. Yeah. And so I'm an analytical. As basically told you, he's an analytical guy, and he's into analytics. And him and Tim are going to talk analytics through the booth and decide what to do on fourth down. That's all you want to hear, guys. I'm sold.
Yes,
I'm sold.
I'm sold. But it does come down to getting that right play in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and executing that. So the decision, great. We'll see what the scheme of the design looks like.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll line up in 22 personnel with Alec Ingold back there and Derek Carr in the center. And everybody's like, zone lead.
If they line up in 22 personnel, Derek Carr needs to motion out wide. Okay. And then Wildcat quarterback with Alec Ingold, you know, handing off a sweep to, you know, Kenyon Drake or something like that. That's what it needs to be. I don't want to see any of these zone leads on third and two.
No, I'm done with those.
Fourth and two, yeah.
When they did the inside zone read with Carr, man, that was a crazy play by Roquan Smith. I felt so bad for Carr there, because Roquan Smith, he went to his gap, which is I think he was like the opposite A-gap. He went, that was his gap. But he saw the play and just caught Derek. Derek was like caught off guard. He didn't do it. That was a crazy play by Smith. But, you know, like, they got to do some other things. They got to mix it up a little bit.
Do we have any update on Carr's neck?
No, they didn't say anything about his neck. No.
I thought he broke his neck.
He did. He got fucked up. How's that on a penalty?
I mean, he's a runner. You can't help. No, you can't helmet to helmet a runner.
You can't helmet to helmet a quarterback either.
Yeah, but once he becomes a runner, you can.
I don't believe that, bro. Tom Brady's getting flagged, dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. 100%.
You can't knock out a quarterback.
Also,
like that, bro.
Tom Brady would never. If I don't care who his offensive coordinator is, if they said, okay, we're running a zone read, he's checking out of that play. Okay, or he's just handing it off. He's not going to actually take it.
But I'm not sure about the sneak. No, the sneak is where I thought that was, like, you can't hit a quarterback like that, bro.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, you can't. You can't do that. But Derek Carr's been getting creamed all year. I don't think he's got a roughing passer all year. He's been getting creamed all year. I don't get it. So, but.
Yep.
Maybe Gruden's gone. They're like Rich, and we'll get some penalties this week.
We'll see. Rich has to go schmooze these refs early.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as the game starts, yeah.
No, maybe Roger Goodell's like, hey, we like Rich. You know, we like Mike Mayock. He's worked for the network. They're in charge now. Let's lay off.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they got a call all year, bro. Like, Eddie Jackson literally held Bryan Edwards by his arms. like Bryan Edwards was like this. Had to, like, yank him off. And it was, like, incomplete. And then Derek Carr is going viral because he missed it. Eddie Jackson literally held him.
Yeah.
Bro.
I
can't take it anymore. So hopefully the NFL is like, you know, you got some good guys in there now. You ain't got crazy John who's, you know, talking crap about Roger Goodell. So.
It's tough. It's tough to play against the refs. You know, you always lose that one, right? If you're playing against the refs. Yeah, well, okay. Well, that's it. That's it from us, guys. We appreciate everyone for tuning in to Taped On Live podcast. You know, we're doing our little preview of the Denver Broncos game. It's a big one. You know, Rich Bisaccia is now the head coach. Raiders got, you know, some some questions that they got to answer, you know, going into this one. So it's going to be a fun one. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, myself at BDWilliams18, Marcus at TheMarkJohnNFL. Also, make sure, okay, if you're struggling, you got to get some gifts for someone. The holiday season is coming up. Okay, use the discount code TDL at Manscaped. Okay, for your brothers, your uncles, your dad. Okay, shoot, you could use this. You know, a lady could use the Manscaped as well. Okay, it's a really high quality trimmer. Okay, they have body wash now. They have some things that are new on their site that you can use the discount code TDL to get 20% off plus free shipping at Manscaped. So make sure you hit that up. Every time the TDL code is used, okay, we get positive analytics and it kind of helps our relationship out with them, and it helps, you know, sponsor this channel. So we appreciate that. That's it, Raider Nation. Anything else, Marcus?
Nah, man. I'm good. Peace out.
All right, we out. All right.